You might like to turn in your Bible, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, for a moment. We're going to look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your presence and thank you for your word. Spirit of God, put it all together for us, that we would be moved, motivated, our God, in your direction, that you would be pleased as you do a wonderful work in our heart. God, we want to be available for all that you make available to us. So be to us who you are, all that you are, in your grace and mercy. And our God will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we have come to the place, John chapter 3 and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent of the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He knows God's word. And this particular reference that our Lord uses to the lifted up the serpent in the wilderness is a very historic one, because of all the times that Israel grumbled and griped in Israel, in the wilderness, this is their worst time. In all that you list them all, and here's a time they just did. If of all the murmurings, this was their worst, and well noted. So now, in order to pick up that mood, and Nicodemus is a Pharisee, so he knows. Well, let's see what there is to know and learn from the serpent in the wilderness that our Lord uses this illustration to help Nicodemus come to know the Lord as a Savior, to help Nicodemus understand God's saving grace. Over, if you would please, to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. And may I pick up, please, in thought. Now, remember now, we're near the end of the 40-year wandering of Israel. And Israel is down in Kadesh Barnea, and they're going to go around, as you'll see, and up to the other side of the Jordan, and then they're going to cross the Jordan. So we're near the end of the 40 years. And in the process, as they are in Kadesh Barnea and at Mount Hor, and then came chapter 20, verse 1, the setting. Then came the children of Israel, on even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together. You're in 21? 20. Where are you? I'm reading chapter 20, and that's a wonderful thing, but we aren't ready for chapter 20. We have to go to chapter 21. Understand? You have to. I'm so glad for your help. What could I do without you? I knew when I was reading that, I said, that doesn't sound right. Now, we'll try again. You ready? All right. Chapter 21. Now, Israel's in the same place. I got that right. They're on their way. They're on their way to cross the Jordan, ultimately. Chapter 21. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by way of the spies. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. So here they are, Kadesh Barnea, and here's Mount Hor going north. If you keep going north, you're going to hit Hebron. That is the path that the 12 spies went in chapter 13. They went up through that. That's the track they went up. And they're using the same track to go straight from the south into the north, from the south straight into Hebron, Jerusalem, etc. Straight into the land. Now, in the process, they're there. And Arad, he lives about, anyway, he's there. He's a king of the Canaanite. And he goes, and Israel's coming, so he takes and confronts them and ends up taking prisoners. Now, Israel is having to respond. Verse 2. Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, they turned to God and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. We will utterly do it. The I is the nation looking at, we're going to go and utterly, utterly destroy the cities. City. We're going to go and do that. And thus, we're going to bring ruin to them. We're going to bring them under the curse. They have taken, what have they done? They've taken some of Israel captive. Remember, Israel is holy, set apart. Israel belongs to God. Once something belongs to God, it is set apart and holy. You have to be very careful in what you do with it and how. Israel has been taken captive. The captives belong to Israel, to God, and Arad the king cannot keep them, cannot contain them. They belong to God. They belong to the nation of God. So therefore, take heed. Be careful. You have invaded Arad and done something you should do. Israel is awakened to the fact that they are going to go in, and they make a commitment, a very rare commitment for them, to have such determination, especially at this point, to have such determination that they're going to go in verse 2 and will utterly destroy, utterly bring them to a curse, to a ruin. The cities, all of the little towns and villages where these Canaanites are, they'll bring them to ruin. Now, having said that, destroy those cities. And they make a commitment to God. God has to help them. God has to help them, but they're looking to God to help them. And verse 3, and the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel, and delivered up the Canaanites, and they, there's your little word, utterly destroyed, to bring to destruction. And they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and they called the name of the place Hormah, which means destroyed, the place where things are destroyed. And thus they called it Hamah, destroyed, the place where things, destruction, place of destruction. Now, if you're going to go from Mount Hor, you're going to go north about 30 miles to Hormah. If you're going north up into Palestine, here's Mount Hor, and you keep going up. And by the way, Mount Hor, without reading it now, is where Aaron died. Miriam dies, the sister. The brother dies, Aaron dies, Moses is the only one left. They both die. God takes them, as it were. So now, here they are, and they're going to call it Hormah, destruction. So in this place of destruction where God, they have honored God in the most wonderful way, and it's a wonderful time for them, a time they haven't had this kind of time. A time of victory, a time when they looked to God, they were determined to take back their captives, and they looked to God and they proceeded forward. Now, having said that, Now, it's a high time in their life. High time. Verse 4. And then they proceeded on their journey. And in chapter 20, and in verse 22, and the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. That's the mountain where Aaron dies, up there on the mountain. Now, it picks up the context, the movement, historically, in verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And they're going to go, west, as it were, for a little bit. And then they're going to go, and there's Edom, the land of Edom. Esau, Edom. The place that Edom, Esau hate, they hate Israel. They're enemies of Israel. Chapter 20, if you would, back over to chapter 20. In verse 18, 20 and 18, and Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. Verse 20, he said, thou shalt not go through, and Edom came out against him with much people with a strong hand. Verse 21, thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, wherefore Israel turned away from him. So here's Edom. They aren't going to let Israel, if you could just keep going west, you can go straight across and straight up to the Jordan. But you can't do that. Edom is not going to let them through. God isn't going to have them fight Edom, not now. And thus, they have to go south. They're going west, and then they drop down south as if they were going down to the Gulf of Aqaba, way down there. And as if they're going south, back into the Red Sea. Back the Gulf of Aqaba is the right arm of the Red Sea. And going down, so they're going southward, and they aren't going across, they're going downhill, as it were, back to where they wandered for 38 years. They wandered around that whole area, going back down again. Now, and they journeyed from Mount Hor, verse 4, by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They were very, very discouraged because of the way. Now remember Aaron, if you would. Miriam has died. Aaron has died. And they just had a wonderful victory. And thus in the process, now they aren't going up north. They aren't going to go straight up into the land. You'd think they might want to keep going right up there into the land, but they aren't. They're told to go west and then southward to avoid Edom. And in doing so, they don't understand all that. And in the process, they're going down to where they had wandered. They're leaving victory, wonderful victory. They're walking away from battle. They're walking away from entrance into the land straightway. They're leaving without Aaron, as we mentioned. And God is managing and outworking with no accident. There's no accident, no unforeseen movement. God knows and God understands. And thus, their direction to journey going down is to help them, to help their heart. They need to get their heart right. They aren't looking to God. They aren't leaning on God. Hang on the two words. They aren't looking to God and they aren't leaning on God. They aren't doing that. Looking up to God? No, they aren't doing that. They're looking at themselves. And when you look at yourself and look at your circumstances, no matter how wonderful a day you had yesterday, you can have a terrible day tomorrow. And no matter how everything looks on the phone call, and then there's another phone call and it all disappears. They're looking at themselves and looking at their condition. They're trying to be happy. Happiness, remember, from our standpoint, is based on happenings. What happens and how it happens governs how happy we are. happenstance, how it happens. Now, so here they are, and they're discouraged. And the word discouraged, by the way, means to be much, they were much discouraged, by the way, because of the way. What are we going south for? What are we going this way for? Why this? Why that? How come? And thus they're discouraged. And the word discouraged means to be, to come short, to be impatient, to be unable to bear up, to be discouraged, to have shortness of breath, to be out, to be all worn out, to reap and to sow, and you're reaping and sowing, and what's happening in what we're doing and how we do it. And there they were, all upset, discouraged. They were just discouraged. They lost heart. They were at a red light, and the red light never turns green. Never turns green. They were waiting and waiting and waiting. They were discouraged. They got impatient. Why are we doing this? Why this way? All right. Now, so just to get a handle on that discouragement, would you go over with me, please, to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. And in Numbers chapter 11, you would be reminded that Moses has an assignment with people, and they are very uncomfortable. They murmur and mumble and everything. And that's what they do. So you're trying to help 2.5 million people or more. You're trying to help them, and you got all the animals and everything else, and everything else is going on, and you're trying to stand there and help them. And Moses is getting tired, and it's hard. So now, the congregation of Israel gets upset with Moses. And if I may, chapter 11, verse 18. Say thou unto the people, sanctify, set yourselves against tomorrow. In other words, set up, set yourself apart for tomorrow. And ye shall eat flesh, for we have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, wherefore the Lord will give you flesh and you shall eat. Remember, they complaining, mumbling, complaining. No matter what you did, there was something to complain about. Now, they want to eat. So God said, you just set yourself apart. Tomorrow, we are going to feed you. We are going to do it. Just like you want. Verse 19. And ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month. You are going to fill your tummy for 30 days in a row. You want to fill it? I'm going to give you your request. When I give you your request, you remember, I'll send leanness into your soul. Now, so here, verse 20, but even a whole month until it come out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because you have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Why do we come out of Egypt? And you were complaining and moaning and mumbling. I gave you manna from heaven. Chapter 11, over if you would, verse 5. I even read verse 4 to get a little better context. And the mixed multitude that was among you fell a-lusting, 11:4. And the children of Israel wept again, and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish that we did eat in Egypt, the freely cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, garlic, all the slaves' diet. Verse 6, and now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof was the color of bdellium. Wow, here we are looking like cream of wheat and stuff. Well, what is this? It's a wonderful food. Wonderful food, as you'll see. Now, what are they doing? They have that. It's a wonderful food. It's a perfect food. Perfect food. And the question is, anyway, hang on to that. Now, having said that, they want to eat. They aren't happy with that. So God gives them what they request. Verse 21, Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, military. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Now Moses is saying, how can this happen? We got 2.5 million people out here or so. And now you're going to take all our animals and sheep. You're going to have to take everything and kill it so that we can feed everybody all at once. Verse 22, shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them, to suffice them, to satisfy them? Are we supposed to kill everything as it were, as it would seem? Shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? Are we supposed to take everything and just satisfy what they're saying? Verse 22, and the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? And that's the word discouraged that you have. Is God discouraged? Is God discouraged with a problem? Is that a problem for God to feed them for 30 days and not have, you're bringing up all the issues that it can't be done. You got problems that'll never work. It's impossible. God said, if I want to do it, it'll be done. And thus, dear friend, the Lord's hand is not discouraged. Is the Lord's hand short and discouraged? Is he not able to do it? Does he lose courage and heart? No. In fact, in the Hebrew, you'll notice, please, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Let me keep going. And thou shalt see how, now, whether thy word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Let me hang on to that. I'll pick it up in a sec. And Moses went out and told all the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. God said, is it too hard for me to go? Is it too hard for me to go and do what I said I would do? Now hang on to that, because here they are, the 12 spies are going to go up into the land pretty quick, and God said, listen, you people, you got the wrong attitude, wrong heart about this whole thing. I'm feeding you with heavenly food, and you want earthly food. Hang on to that. Now, Isaiah chapter 50. In Isaiah chapter 50, can God keep Israel? Does Israel have any future? I mean, how can Israel go anywhere? I mean, there's no way. Look at the conditions. Look at the people. Look at the world. God said, hold it now. Verse 26 of chapter 49. I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh. They shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I am the Lord, thy Savior, thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. They're going to know, Israel and all your enemies, they're going to know. Chapter 50, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord. What are they going to know? Where is the bill, and Israel needs to pay attention now and not complain. Where is the bill of my mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? In other words, God is saying to Israel, where is your case, like we did Wednesday? Where is the case you have against me? You're blaming me. Show me the bill of divorcement. Show me where I abandoned you. Show me where I've been indifferent to you. Show me where I walked away. Show me it. Show me where I didn't pay the bill. When a bill was in front, when didn't I pay that bill? If I said it, I did it. Now, in verse 50, the middle of the verse. When my creditors, is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and your transgressions is your mother, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. The whole problem you have isn't God separating, it's you separating from God. Verse 2. Wherefore, therefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Have I always had a prophet, priest? I always sold you. Early in the morning, I had them rise up and speak to you. All the way, my son's coming, all the way down the line. When have I failed to communicate and warn you and be of help, if you would take it? When? Find a place. Now, verse 2. Is my hand shortened? There's the word discouraged, the word to be discouraged, to be short, to be impatient. Is my hand shortened, by the way? Have I lost courage? Have I lost ability to do what I have to do? Have I failed? Is my heart backed off from being committed to you? Not at all. And by the way, the little two words you have after verse 2, in verse 2, the hand shortened at all is a verb the same as the word shortened. It is the same verb. And thus, what it is, an absolute. What do you mean? Well, it's saying something and making it, do you really, are you really, surely, really, are you certain? Intensifying the word. Are you understand? Do you mean I am not able to do this? I've lost my courage, my heart. I'm discouraged, not able. I'm impatient. Shortened it all. That I cannot redeem or have no power to deliver you? Is that true? Never. Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water and dieth for thirst. When I want to put it out, when I want to say and do, it happened. I opened the Red Sea 4.5 miles. I opened it up. I'll open up the Jordan River coming up. I'll open it up. 25 miles open. 25 miles of open stretch where you can cross the river. Wow. I can do all that. Now, don't tell me that I'm discouraged. You're discouraged. The problem is yours, not mine. I'm telling you to go south. I'm telling you to avoid Edom, if you would. Now, over to Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Now, you want to remember now, this is approximately 38 years earlier. 38 years. This is when they started. When they started, Mount Sinai, they're going to go up into the land, northward, take the land. But they didn't believe Joshua and Caleb, and their unbelief kept them down in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, here they are in the same place in chapter 21 of Numbers. They're in the same place. But here, going backwards to pick up the mood, chapter 13, remember now the spies come back from going up to the north, and in verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to, overcome it. And remember the iron chariots and everything. Verse 31, but the men that went up with him, the ten, said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we, and they're more than we. And we, by the way, we are as grasshoppers. We are as grasshoppers. If I may, skipping down. In verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak. If you thought Goliath was big, think of all the rest of the people. They were all big, big Goliaths, all over the place. Sons of Anak. Wow, giants, land of giants. Land of giants, wow. And which come which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. We were little grasshoppers, just step on us. Now they were encouraged to go northward, but way back in the beginning, but they didn't do it. Chapter 14, they didn't believe. And the congregation, verse 1, the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Oh, what's the sense in all this? Verse 3, wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey, a spoil? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt, where we lived as slaves? Verse 4, they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. We need to go back to Egypt, back to Egypt. We had a calf, to go forward. And you got rid of the calf. Now we want a captain to go backwards. Someone to take Moses' place. Verse 33, chapter 14, verse 33. And your children, remember now, they're going to pay for their unbelief and their indifference and their murmuring. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. You're going to be there. Verse 34. After the number of days which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years. And you shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it. And all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness, they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Verse 36, and the men of which Moses sent to search the land who returned made all the congregation to murmur again, made everyone to join the murmurers. And once you start mumbling and grumbling, then you get others to mumble and grumble, and everyone's mumbling and grumbling against him, verse 36, by bringing up a slander and evil report upon the land. God, where's the God whose hand is not shortened? God isn't discouraged. God said, what's the problem? If I want to do it, I can do it. Verse 39. Moses told these sayings unto the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly, oh, they've sinned. Verse 40. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up unto the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. We have sinned. We'll go. God, we don't want to spend 40 years out here. We don't want to die. God, we're going to go. We're going to go up there like you told us. We aren't enthused about it, but we're going to do it because the cost of not going seems too great. We're going to go, God, anyway. Okay? Now, we've sinned, God. You're going to find it again, verse 20. We sinned. But this time we've sinned. We didn't go. Verse 11. Moses said, wherefore, now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord, but it shall not prosper. Go not, N-O-T, go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. Don't go, you're going to get clobbered. Verse 43, and the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword because you have turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. And they what? They went anyway. They said, we're sinned and disregarded what God had just said. As they might as well not have said we've sinned. What difference does it make? So I sinned, God. Now I'm going to keep going. And in verse 44, but they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. And of course, verse 45, then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them. even unto Hormah, destruction. Now, that's the place. That's way back 38 years ago. Now, go with me over forward all the way to the end of the wilderness, chapter 21. Chapter 21. And you'll notice Israel's going to respond. Verse 5. Now, don't get discouraged. And picking up, please, verse 5. And the people, remember now they aren't looking. They aren't looking to God. They aren't trusting God. They're looking, and they just had a wonderful victory. And they had their Aaron and Miriam and all of the problems. But hey, we're looking, and we're going to get discouraged. And they did. Verse 5. And the people spake against Moses, against God, and against Moses. They spake. They murmured. They spake. Spake against God and against Moses. And they put Moses on a par with God, or God on a par with Moses. They brought God down to Moses. Brought Moses up to God. They put him like this. God and Moses. Moses isn't God, but they just said, what's the difference? God and Moses, they brought him right down together. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. You see, if there's something to complain, find it. If there's something to talk about, find it. Find something. Make up something. So the bread and the water, that's right. Old problem. They have been living 40 years, just about. 40 years. And would you notice, please, in verse 5, you have brought us up out of Egypt, the little verb to die. You are still alive after 40 years with the water problem and food problem and the health problem are no problem. And you have made, you're talking about dying? How could you even think about dying when God has kept you all these years? When you should have died a long time ago. You should have died, but they didn't. But they, who's going to think about things? Who's going to put things together? So they just complained. They murmured, mumbled. They were looking at themselves, looking at their circumstances, looking at their world, and they were trying to make it come out all right. It isn't going to come out all right. So now, there's no water, and the end of verse 5, and our soul loathes, to feel disgust, to have a feeling of horror. For this light bread, worthless bread, bad bread, insignificant. They despised the bread. That's what they did. They despised it. Wow. Now, and thus, that's their attitude. That's how they're thinking, and they aren't. After all these years, you would think that people would, but they don't. You have an old nature. And if you've been a believer for 5 years, 10 years, or 100 years, you still have an old nature. It doesn't go away. You don't get gooder and better. You learn to trust God more. That's what you do. You don't trust yourself. You're trying to trust yourself. You're not going to get any better. You got the same problem you had when you started. The difference is God is able to deliver you and save you and help you in handling that condition. Well, he gives you a new and unique relationship to himself. Now, so here in their loathing, the end of verse 5, their loathing, disgust, the horror of it all, they're loathing it. And the process, and they make the light bread. Do you know the manna? Was the perfect food. The manna was heavenly food, wasn't it? Our Lord said so in John 6. Heavenly food. God gave you heavenly food. It was the perfect food. And the question arises, you have to, and you have to, Jewish thinking, understanding. It was the perfect food, so you didn't excrete anything. It was the perfect food. It perfectly digested in your system. Perfectly digested. Wow. How? I don't know. I understand they needed a shovel to bury stuff, etc. But wow, it was a perfect food. And here you are, wanting to go back to Egypt, eating earthly food. Earthly food. Earthly food. By the way, I'm going to go. I have an answer for you. I'm going to help you. Do you know you are caught up in earthly things, aren't you? Bread and water, you're all caught up in earthly things. I'm going to send one along who got you into all this trouble in the first place, the serpent, Genesis 3, verse 1 and following. And you know what I did to him? I did. He was walked around, and I reduced him down to a serpent to crawl. He would never have feet. He would crawl the rest of his life. He would live his life, curse, Genesis 3. He would live his life in the dust of the earth. He would never have heavenly upward. Everything he took was from the ground, from the ground bottom. He never went up. You want to say, you don't like heavenly food? Then I'm going to help you with a man, with the one, the devil himself, who fed you and made you get earthly. So you couldn't enjoy a wonderful God. You had to get caught up in the word, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, having said that, little bit, in verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents. The words, two words, there's sometimes one word is used for both, and sometimes there's two of them. And it has to do with serpent, the serpent part, to eye, to see with the eye, to view. The serpent's eye was very sharp, to see sharply, eye. And other languages would have the same, the eye of the serpent looking out, the eye. Serpent, serpent's eye, serpent. And the second word, fiery, has to do with burning, to burn. The burning, poison, bite, burns, poison, hurts, when you get the poison, venomous in you. Wow. Fiery serpents. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, but they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Nicodemus, do you know that? Do you remember that? Lots and lots of people died. Remember that? I do. Verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." Now there's your same verb you had back there in Numbers 14. We have sinned, and then they disregarded, disobeyed, and did the very opposite of what they should have done. Now, here they are saying it again. This is the first time they say it with a little bit of heart in it. This is the first time they put some heart into it. We've sinned. We need to be forgiven. They put a little something inside of it here in their heart. Thus, therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord." There's your word as you had in verse 5. Spoken against the Lord. "We have spoken against and against Moses, against thee." Moses, pray. Word pray. To fall down. Fall down on your face, Moses. We can't do it. You, Moses, fall down on your face in front of God for us. Fall down. Thus, pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. He prayed for them. Now, having said that, looking to God, and there, we have sinned. We missed the mark. We're not hitting the target. We missed the mark. God, what do we need to do? We need to look up. That's right. God, we forgot all about you. Now, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he not does anything," you've already been bitten, "look up." That's all I want you to do. You look at yourself, you look down, you look at your world, you miss out. You got discouraged. You lost your courage, you lost everything, you got caught up in everything. Wow. God said, Moses, I want you to make a serpent. Do you know the one who got you into this? The slanderer. And Israel has just slandered me, murmured against me. God said, I'm going to use the serpent. I'm going to use the serpent to remind them. Genesis 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm going to use that serpent. Put him on a pole. I want to remind the people where this all came from. Where did this come from? And what is to be done about it? And you know the promise in Genesis 3 and 15, don't you? The seed of the woman, our Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be crucified. But when he's crucified, our Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to permanently judge the devil. He's going to permanently judge the devil, the serpent, and the seed. God said, I'm going to put it on a pole. And I want you to stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at your world. Stop looking at your problems. You're looking at everything. How are you ever going to know? How are you ever going to get out of the discouragement business? How are you going to get out to be consistently able to handle it? My hand is not shortened that it cannot save. I'm able to save to the uttermost. Your iniquities have come between you and God. I want you to go. The clouds are there, just like in the sky. You could have the sunshine is there. The wonderful sunshine is up there in the sky. But you know we could have a terrible storm, and the storm could come, and dark clouds, and the dark clouds are there. And we look at the clouds and say, oh. But you have to stand and think a second. On the other side of the cloud is the sun. Is the sun. Why don't we see the sun? Because of the storm. Why don't we see God? Because of your sin. You don't see God. Where is God? You don't believe. It's required. Without faith, it's impossible to what? To please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So God, here we are looking, God, to deal with our heart. Now, having said all that and keeping that in the mind, if you would, over, if you would please, in closing, over to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now, God said, you just have to look. Trust me. I didn't ask you to figure it out. I just want you to trust me. Isn't that what happens when you get saved? You turn to God and believe. And you count on God to do what only he can do in the way that he can do it. You don't help him. You can't even make it work. You just have to trust God. All you did is look. All you did is believe. And God answers it on his terms. He's God. He isn't discouraged. He isn't limited. He didn't lose heart. A problem is ours, not God's. So God, here is a wonderful, wonderful thing for us to keep in mind in the light of all this. God, Israel failed to honor you. They just failed. They got all tied up. It's easy to do. And you think you'd never done that. After so many years, you shouldn't make a mistake. You shouldn't be discouraged. You shouldn't be depressed, depleted, disappointed. You shouldn't be after all this time. But you could be. You could be. It can happen to us. And God has to help us. So what are we going to do? Look to God. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Remember, Eli and his sons didn't look to God. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now, the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me, shall be lightly esteemed. And the word lightly esteemed is the word loathed. And that's what you just read in Numbers 21. Israel loathed the bread. They despised the bread of heaven. They said it, we don't want to eat heavenly things. We don't want to enjoy heavenly benefits. We don't want to have such a wonderful thing as the forgiveness of sins. We don't want to be strangers and pilgrims on earth. We want to find our home here and now to the best of our ability. God, if you just, we'll call you if we need you, just like in Laodicea, the church, Revelation 3, 17 and so. We have need of how much? Nothing. I am rich. I don't need anything. God will let you know if we need you. You see, it's very easy to get discouraged. You're living in doubts. They're going to make for discouragement. Now, how are you going to handle discouragement? You can look at it and try to say it all is going to work out. Sure you can. But then it doesn't work out. And then one thing, it isn't just Miriam dies and Aaron dies. And now we're going, another problem comes up. And you did all right for three of the problems. But when you add the fourth one, like blocks, you know, you can pile the blocks up and you did pretty good. And the pile. But when you get up here, and you didn't take care of the blocks down here. So what's going to happen? You're going to keep doing it. And they're all going to topple. They're all going to fall down. You should have been taking care of them. You let them all pile up, and now it's going to catch you. You're going to get discouraged. You don't need to be discouraged. God said the opposite over and over again. Joshua 1, 6, 7, 9. Be strong and of what? Good courage. Told you it over again. Be strong and of good courage. No, just be strong and of good courage, and believe me. But you have to look. I have to look. Oh, I don't want, God, it's so hard. Do it anyway. Do it in spite of everything. In all common sense, in all your reasonableness, in all the rigors of rationale that humans use. Trust God anyway. Trust God. Look to God. I look to you, God. I don't look to the hills, Psalm 121. My help doesn't come from mountains, doesn't come from the stars. My help cometh from what? My help cometh from you, God. That's where my help comes. Look, God, I'm going to look to you. God, no matter what. And on the other side, I don't care how big that cloud gets and how dark and ominous, traumatic. But God, I know you're on the other side. I know you're on the other side of the cloud. Our Father in God, we look to you to deal with our heads and hearts and help us a little bit, God. Deal with us. Your kindness and grace are absolutely essential. God, what do we know? So deal with us, please. We want to learn from Israel. We want to learn, our God. We want to learn well and rightly. So thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we could sing, please. Stanza 546, if you would. First and third stanza, 546. Let's stand together.